Today our reflection is on the book of Luke 20:1-8, and the theme of the message is authority. The passage is about the conversation that Jesus had with the Jewish leaders who were questioning his authority. But before we explore this passage further, let us first find out what authority is. What is authority? According to the Oxford Dictionary, authority is the ability to influence or direct the actions or thoughts or behaviors of others. That means that whoever exercises authority has some power vested in them, and usually this person is what we refer to as a leader. At any given point in our lives, we have been under authority. As children, you are under your parents' authority or your guardian's authority. If you're an employee, you report to someone in authority in your organization. As students, you are under your teacher's authority. But why do we need authority in life? Authority can be used to protect our right to life, liberty, property, and it also brings a sense of order and security. A good example is school setups. School setups with students and teachers, each party knows what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable and where the boundaries are. Another example is how organizations are run and managed, or better still, our social structure and the way of life still revolves around authority. That is why lack of authority leads to lawlessness and disorder. Now, to give context to our passage today, let us look at some of the different types of leadership styles that are practiced across the globe and the type of authority that they exhibit. And the first one I'd like us to look at is despotic leadership. This is also known as dictatorship. And this kind of leadership is where power is exercised in a brutal or oppressive way. And some of the people we know who practice this kind of leadership is Ali Khamenei of Iran, as our Iranian brothers would testify, Sheikh Khalifa of Dubai, who has recently been in the media for detaining his daughters who attempted to escape from home. We also know of Museveni of Uganda, who recently, after election, imposed house arrest on the main opposition leader, Bobi Wine. And the other person that we also know who is a despot is Alexander Lukashenko of Belarus, who last week sentenced two journalists for live coverage of public protests against him, because the opposition leader died in police custody. Within despotic leadership, there are two subtypes of leadership styles as well. And the first one is theocracy. Theocracy is where the leadership is based on religious law and the officials in charge of leadership are divinely guided. And a good example of theocracy leadership is the Vatican City, that is led by the Pope. We also have the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia or Afghanistan. And what we've seen with theocracy, it comes with its own challenges, where the minority groups that don't subscribe to the ruling powers are not tolerated. Usually this will result in persecution of these minority groups, like we saw with the Rohingya Muslims in Myanmar, or the persecution of Christians in China. The second subtype of despotic leadership is the monarchy, where power is held by a ruling family and it is passed down through generations, and those ruled have no say in it. And good examples of this include the Kingdom of Thailand, the State of Qatar, and of course in Britain. So back to our main leadership styles. The second type is the democratic leadership, and this is where common people hold power or they can choose leaders who represent their core values and beliefs. It is a participative type of leadership, and Norway is the best example worldwide for practicing democratic leadership. Within democratic leadership, we have two subtypes of leadership. The first one being the liberal democracy. Here, leadership is where individuals' rights and freedoms are officially recognized and protected, and the exercise of power is limited by the rule of law. Canada and the UK are good examples of this type of leadership. The second subtype of democratic leadership is the flawed democracy. In this case, elections are fair and free, and basic civil liberties are honored. But they may have significant faults in other democratic aspects, such as suppression of media, or low level of participation of the subjects, or erratic governance like what we saw in the US for the past 4 years with Trump. And now there's a new leadership in place. The third type of leadership style is divine leadership. This is exercised through a deity, and it is transmitted through words and actions, and it permeates the lives of people, causing transformation and a lot of ripples in the society. And the best example of divine leadership was by Saint Francis of Assisi, who was a social justice campaigner during his time. He was credited for criticizing the Pope for greed, power, and worldliness at the Vatican City, and instead he challenged the Vatican City to share abundant wealth and life more equally with those who are lacking. And the fourth type and last type of leadership that we will look at today is the charismatic leadership style. Here, power is legitimized by a person's ability to inspire devotion and obedience. And a good example of this type of leadership is Billy Graham. He is credited with presenting the gospel simply and in such a way that the gospel opened the possibility of grace for everyone. The other person who practiced this type of leadership is Fidel Castro, the former prime minister and president of Cuba. He spearheaded free medical care for his countrymen, and that eventually led to medical tourism as we know it today, where Cuba sends out its medical personnel as an export to other countries to serve, and Cuba receives a nominal fee for their services in the host country. While this leadership style creates a positive impact and introduces big changes in the society, it can be used for selfish ambitions. So, having looked at all these leadership styles, which one signifies the authority held by Jesus? Of course, he was a divine leader and a charismatic one at that. And so back to our passage in Luke, just to set the scene, the way of living here was full of interaction and dialogue amongst people. You encountered people, you spoke to them, you got on with life, and you encountered more people and interacted with them and you moved on. And in such a setup, you knew who the who and whose were. The political and social structure was established, and to be an authority figure here, you had to fulfill certain practices and you should have undergone some ceremonies to earn your place. This was a society that was hung up on authority. There was strict hierarchy of status, like the one found in the army, and Jesus didn't fit in any of this in their minds. Their leadership style was despotic, and the following events followed. First, there was a confrontation. In verse 1 to 2, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders confront Jesus to show his credentials. These were people who were considered experts in their field, And they also commanded power by virtue of the positions in this society. So here rocks up a maverick who had earlier on disturbed and disrupted the status quo of business and the economy at the temple market and sent traders away. Then he goes on ahead to set up his base at the temple and start his trade there of teaching at the temple without consulting them or referring to them. And to make matters worse, he didn't even hold any of their qualifications for a teacher of the temple. Of course, that annoyed the traders, and by so doing, Jesus also undermined the authority of the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, who were not pleased with him either. Because their coat of power had been rattled, their question to Jesus was about their insecurity. By whose authority are you doing these things? By these things, they referred to the entry into the city when he was riding on a colt, clearing the temple, and the healing on the Sabbath. The second thing that happened was there was a counterattack. And to help you appreciate this better, let me give you an example of something that you could be familiar with. At the beginning of December, when the COVID vaccine was being approved, there was a video going on viral on social media called Ask the Experts. The video was produced by some skeptical medical personnel across the world who alleged that the COVID vaccine is unsafe. And they were now campaigning against people taking a jab. Of course, public health officials were now confronted with an unexpected new challenge where their expertise is being questioned by the general public as well as their peers. And so when we go back to the passage, Jesus' response is a counterattack. He asked them, first, let me ask you a question about the baptism of John. Who authorized it, heaven or humans? And these were experts in their field, so they were supposed to be knowledgeable in their areas of practice. What Jesus was saying in essence is that if you can't answer my question as an expert, then you have no authority. And in a certain way, Jesus took away their authority because they couldn't respond to his question. Of course, the leaders in this society didn't authorize John, but there were many people who followed John, and they didn't want to displease such people because this will be considered blasphemy. Because John was known as a prophet and they were afraid of being stoned to death by the crowd. So they conceded defeat by saying they don't know. But did they really want to know the answer to their question, or were they just after winning a debate? Like them, sometimes in life we find ourselves in situations where our conscience conflicts with what is happening around us and we choose not to acknowledge the truth and do what is right. For example, if you were shopping and you noticed someone shoplifting, would you confront them or would you keep quiet about it? Or at school or your place of work, can you speak out when someone is treated unfairly? The third thing that happened is confession. They didn't confess the truth. And for us today here, do you know and recognize God's authority when you see or encounter it in your life? And do you submit to it? Or do you deny like they did and move out of the Lord's presence without seeking to know him and know the truth? And to answer their question of authority, scripture tells us in Matthew 28:18-19, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen.